Now the real story begins. 1995. One thing leads to another. It all started with a new job in a new town. After earning my chemical engineering degree, I spent a couple years as a pipeline engineer. Around that time, I was deciding between law school, med school, or business school. I chose an MBA and landed a job with a company transitioning into a startup. Not the tech kind we know today, but something close for Oklahoma in the mid-90s. It was still cool. The office had free pop and juice. That was part of the startup vibe. This is your early warning, dear reader. I'll spare you as many body details as I can, but this story is built around electrolytes, how you get them and how you lose them. So yes, there will be some pee and poop. The office was freezing, the kind of place where the AC never took a day off, and you always needed a jacket, no matter the season. I had sworn off sugary drinks, but somehow I found myself constantly sipping on the free juice and soda like they were hydrating me. Then things started getting weird. Not catastrophic, just strange enough that I noticed. I felt like I had a UTI or something. Not painful exactly, just off. So I figured, hey, new city, new job, new insurance, might as well get a new doctor. He was probably around my age now, 55, 56. He brought me into his personal office, wooden furniture, carpeted floors, a far cry from what passes for medicine today. We talked. It turned out we were both runners. It really felt like we bonded a little. He gave me a urinalysis and prescribed antibiotics. The urinalysis came back clean. Then came the diarrhea. He switched me to a different antibiotic. Pretty sure that one was Cipro. And if you've never had Cipro, let me tell you, it's not subtle. It's a fluoroquinolone, potent enough to nuke a wide range of bacteria and infamous for its side effects. You don't just take Cipro, you endure it. That didn't solve it either, so he prescribed Donatol, a combination drug with phenobarbital and hyoscyamine, a drug used for irritable bowel issues. It's basically a smooth muscle relaxer designed to calm the gut, and for a day or two, it worked. Then the burning began. My stomach was on fire all the time. He wasn't worried. He had a new acid-reducing drug, a PPI, short for proton pump inhibitor, supposedly better than the older H2 blockers like Zantac. This one shut down acid production at the source. It was the hot new thing in GI medicine, and yeah, it worked, briefly. Briefly as in a day or two. But now I was on an antibiotic, a stomach pill, and an acid reducer, and nothing was helping. The pain never stopped. Next stop, GI doc. In 1995, when they scoped my stomach during that first wave of collapse, the gastro looked at the screen, paused, and said, "Your stomach is entirely covered in small ulcerations. It looks like the stomach of a 70-year-old. Then he hit the button, rolled to the next patient. I was 26. No answers, no flags, just a prescription and a drug. Years later, I got access to the procedure data, who does what and how often. And sure enough, my GI doc was at the top of the list in Tulsa. Makes sense. Procedures pay. Explaining why a healthy 26-year-old stomach looked like he's been through three wars? That's unpaid labor. I finally found a combination that helped. Drinking water and licorice pills. Not a great plan, I know now. That combination is dangerous, but it wouldn't have become catastrophic if not for something else. I have SIADH, Syndrome of Inappropriate Antidiuretic Hormone secretion. Okay, pause. This is where we hit our first, that's unusual moment, but I promise you there are many more to come. I'll try to warn you. SIADH is a condition where your body keeps releasing antidiuretic hormone, ADH, even when it shouldn't, which means your kidneys hold on to water instead of letting go. That dilutes your blood sodium levels and throws your electrolyte balance completely out of whack. In a healthy person, ADH shuts down when your body senses enough fluid. In SIADH, that signal is broken. I know that now, but back then I should have remembered it was possible. It had already happened once, so severe it caused a memory gap. Later, a fraternity brother confirmed to me, after years of me swearing that it did indeed happen. I had been taken to a clinic affiliated with another fraternity brother after drinking a ton of water trying to cure a hangover. I was virtually unresponsive. I don't remember anything from that trip except them loading me into someone's caddy. My next memory is of waking up on a surface in something that looked like a laboratory with tubes running out of my arms. They had put me on dialysis. Right here, I'm inserting a memory that I really haven't ever shared. I figure we are here to document everything, so here goes. The other memory I eventually remembered about that day was something I didn't understand at the time, and I might be wrong about now, but because it ties into things later, it might be relevant, and I'm going to share. As I was getting dressed in this little private room that had full-height, lockable chest, closet, I felt something. It was an isolated wriggling in my back up near the base of my neck. It went away after some amount of time, which I cannot quantify. I only know it was long enough to make me think about it and wonder what it was, because what it wasn't was muscular. It was almost on the surface, as if just under my skin. But right then, I didn't have those memories. I didn't remember the doctor saying, "You might have a problem with drinking water, only drink when thirsty." That memory was still gone. Just gone, like it got cut from the reel. It wasn't until later, inside the random mental hospital, that the feel of the open area and private room would remind me of the other clinic. No, I just knew I couldn't pee, and drinking water was not triggering that response, and I was not acting right in the head. I didn't know what it meant to be manic, but looking back, this was similar, just on. Grandma. My grandmother was like a second mom to me. We lived just down the road on a park. Looking out my front door, I got to see the yard, the blacktop, and then the park. Mom was a single mom without a college degree, so life wasn't exactly made of money, but I felt spoiled. My father died in Operation Linebacker II, piloting a B-52 through a pass known to have surface-to-air missiles. They knew they would lose friends that day. He was 27 and fighting existential battles. His father had died young, too. Grandmother worked in a doctor's office. She had always taken care of me when I was sick. She even had Compazine for when I had a few nights vomiting. That stuff was golden. Her house was magic. I figured I should go see her. Something wasn't right. I went to Norman. Grandmother could fix it.